and to hand them the Bible for the first time and for them to smell it. And then they can say, "Tagadinongka, where did you come from?" And I said, "I can't tell you where I come from because I was born in Idaho. I lived in Oregon, Seattle, California. My mom is from Australia. Then we lived in Florida." I said, "Let me just tell you where I'm going because it's so much easier." They say, "Well, where is the Bible?" And I said, "Well, churches like Grace Baptist, they love Jesus and they want you to know what they know about the Bible." So as missionaries, that's what we do. And we're a part of your family because y'all are partnering together with us. So I want you to be able to meet my family. So if they could come up. Come on, Victoria, Dixie Mae, Annabelle, and Landon. And we're going to sing another song just before the message. But I want you to get to know us a little bit. So our first song that we're going to sing is in Cebuano, which is the language that we got to learn in the Philippines. And Is that microphone on over there? Okay. So we first went to the Philippines, and we were preaching in the jails there. And there's a lot of people that are in jail, and those are kind of a forgotten group of people. And we got to preach, and that was something that I was able to do, but it was hard for my children. And so I prayed. I said, "Well, Lord, you sent us here as a family, and I want something that our whole family can do." So he added from that to what was the Philippine Dream Center, and y'all gave to help with the Philippine Dream Center, where we went to a cemetery. I know it sounds funny, but people live there, all right? They actually, they're mausoleums, and they stack open the tombs, and it's like a gated city. There's about 500 people there, and they pull the bones and the remains out, and they sleep inside because it's a free place to live, because it's expensive to live there. So I've taught a Sunday school lesson with children playing with jawbones. So if you think that's hard, you know, here, with kids being rowdy, imagine their jawbones like that. And so the spiritual attacks that happened were challenging, but people got saved there. We're able to help build houses for some of the people there. Almost 20 of the families, and move them out of the cemetery, start businesses for them. But most importantly, we train them how to understand the Bible and to take what they've learned and to teach it to other people. And that's what they've been doing. Like my friend Roy, he used to be an assassin. He was a trained hitman. And when he got saved, we showed him the scriptures. He didn't know how to read, but his children would read to him, and he would get up and preach on Sundays. And his children would get up and read the Bible verses for him, and he understood it because the Holy Spirit put a fire down in his soul. And we believe that God can use anyone, and I know that because he used us to learn a language that's completely different. And as we sing, I have to give a disclaimer. We're very happy people in the Philippines, so when we say hello, we raise our eyebrows like this. Y'all want to try it? We do that. You want to try it? You can go ahead. Okay. I wouldn't recommend that in Burger King drive-thru. Like, how you doing? You know? I make the mistake of doing that sometimes because I'm just like, "Hey, how's it going?" It's like memory muscle, you know? And then when we point, like, "Where is the flag?" Point like that with your lips, like over there. So the combination of them both can get you in really big trouble. But that's just who we are. So we're going to sing this song called Dungogog Himaya. It's a very biblical song because it talks about how God created the world and how he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and how God continues to show us things that remind us of him. And then at the end, it's a call for people to receive Christ. All right, go ahead. Gogog Himaya sa langit ug sa yuta ang tanan o Diyos kanimo lamang ikaw puno sa gugma na wala'y katapusan o Diyos sawiton ko ang gugma mo Ginoong Diyos, may gugmaon sa tanan,
Tapos kang daigon og simbahon og alaran. Ang tanan kong gumar, ang hinatugyan ko kanimo, ang kinabuhi ko, O Diyos, kanimo lamang.
Amen. We'll do one that might be a little bit more familiar. And if you know it, when we get to the English part, sing it with us.
Balay ko sa langit, nagasilak-silak. Balay ko sa langit, nagasilak-silak. Balay ko sa langit, nagasilak-silak. Luyo sa panaw. Ginoo, hinumnomi ako. Ginoo, hinumnomi ako. Ginoo, hinumnomi ako. Sa imong pagbalik. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue.
Amen. That song's very special to us because 13 years ago when God called us to be missionaries, we sold everything that we own and everything that we had left was fit in two suitcases in a minivan. And then 6 months later, we flipped that minivan up in Canada and everything we owned was on the side of the highway. So we literally had the clothes that were on our back. Then we've been in the Philippines and through a unique set of circumstances, which I'll share in the message, we had about 2 hours to get out of the country and whatever didn't fit in a suitcase or two had to be left there and we end up giving it away. We had guitars, we had banjos, we had 150 acres, we had projector screens, I mean everything everyone could think of, and the Lord said, give it all away, let someone else continue ministry with it. So now what we own is in that 21-year-old Suburban with 260,000 miles on it, so we don't really have a home anymore because we sold that, but it's the most freeing thing in the world because we get to go anywhere that Jesus tells us to go. A lot of people say, like, you know, we might not have a lot, but they said, what you have, we can't purchase because we got the freedom to go anywhere that Jesus tells us to. Anywhere. And we can be missionaries here, up here. We can be missionaries this afternoon. We'll be down in Beaver at Crow Baptist Church. And so we can go down there. And then I'll be in Roanoke later tonight. And it's just an honor to serve. So I want you to meet my family. This is Landon. Say hello, Lynn.
Hello.
His Filipino name, if you can try it, it's Ungoy Naputi. You say that? It means the white monkey. Okay. You say, why? He used to climb coconut trees and mango trees. Now he wants to play football. If you look it up, it's called the Kahuku Red Raiders in Hawaii. They're the toughest football team. They're full of Samoans. So he said, Dad, if I'm going to play football with Samoans, I got to get a little bit tougher. Okay, I got to get bigger. And so, but this is Landon. And, you know, sometimes they share testimonies, sometimes they don't. Landon, could you just, you don't have to say about Hawaii because we haven't lived there yet, but can you share something about what you got to do in the Philippines? Okay.
Well, in the Philippines, Munich City had a summer program and...
You go ahead.
Anyways, people after school, me and Dixie started doing a summer program, and we would cook them food like spaghetti and stuff. Anyways, me and Dixie did that, and then one time we were serving these kids spaghetti. We ran out of cups there, and this little girl handed up her shoe and asked her for more. And so they went up to the store, and they didn't have any, so we gave her
Yeah. Landon plowed, like, you know, we got hills there, but we, you know, it's a lot like here, but we got some areas you can plow. He plowed with a water buffalo, which is like it's called, it's been a while since I've been there. Carabao. So he's out there plowing the fields in his flip-flops, you know, with the carabao. And we had got a bunch of property, got to grow corn, okra, papaya, mango, coconut, you name it. And he actually learned the language there before he learned English. So it was a little bit hard when he came back and he seen his grandparents. He's like, too big, you know. His Nana's like, you call me big? You know, what's wrong? No, I just want some water, Nana. I'm sorry. You know? So you pray for Landon because I'll share a little bit later, but we were in the Philippines a long time. And my best friend I've ever had in life and who thought Landon hung the moon, he got into a vehicle accident and he got a skull fracture. And y'all remember reading in Acts chapter 8 how Saul, before he met Jesus, he terrorized the church, right? Killing Christians, locking them up. Well, do you realize when he did that, that was like the spread of the gospel going everywhere. So there was beauty in that. Well, this is what happened. Our best friend that he's always looked up to and loved, he got a skull fracture and he just went crazy. He, after a Wednesday night service, started punching people in our church and saying he was going to kill them before they killed him. And he had a mental disorder from a skull fracture. And we had to go because they said, preacher, you can't be here anymore because he thinks you're against him. And I said, well, why? They said, because you're not proud of him for, you know, taking care of business. He thought, these people don't love God as much as I do, preacher, so I'm going to knock them out. And I'm like, Roy, they won't come back to church. And he says, why? He says, preacher, he says, pastor, before Christ, I would just shoot somebody. But now, I just punch them instead. I'm like, Roy, that doesn't bring people back. He said, well, I don't understand why you're not happy. And I said, I love you, but you scare people. So there's another Filipino person there carrying on our ministry. And they said these words. They said, go to the regions beyond, pastor, because we want to carry on the work here. But if you could pray for my son, because he loved that man very much, and he really misses him a lot. So can you pray for him as we go to Hawaii? We'll be, Lord willing, as soon as things open up. Maybe after November 3rd, right? And but we're just praying. He has the magic date for us to go. I want him to have a good friendship like that again. Just pray for Landon. And then Annabelle, you okay? Share something, or you want Mama to? Okay. So God made all of our children very unique and very, very, very different. And Landon was just the white monkey. And Annabelle always took care of babies. And how many of y'all have children who like, you know, take care of babies? When she was younger, she'd wake up in the middle of the night and she had this little baby that you could feed, you know, feed and change its diaper. And I'm like, it's 2 a.m., girly, what are you doing? And that's just her. So she got to help take care of children in the Philippines. She started taking care of animals. How many of y'all have goats? Or how many of y'all like goats? She helped deliver the baby goats, and the moms are like, you can deliver a baby goat. Just come with me, and you can help deliver my baby, you know? See, that's a little bit different. But I want you to just share whatever's on your heart. You don't have to talk about Hawaii. Just whatever God allows you to do over in the Philippines. Okay, good.
She could put all the books of the Bible to us in front of our whole entire church. So that's pretty
in order.
But please pray for them right now because they have gone back to where they were from and they're going to go tell everybody there and their family and their friends about what the Lord did in their lives and show them that He can do the same today. So just please pray for them.
Yeah. There was a little girl that thought Annabelle was just, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, right? And their family loved her very much, and she was really close with them. And when this happened in our church, when our friend went crazy, five different families that lived there at the Philippine Dream Center, the place where we built houses for homeless people, they scattered and they went back to where they were from. And it broke our hearts, but they said, Pastor, don't cry. Because in one night you sent out five missionaries. He goes, we all went back to where we were from. And instead of just, you know, hovering over, you know, what, you know, and listening to the teaching you gave us, we took that and we started works in the places that we're from. And so it was heartbreaking, but then You know, as a pastor, to have all these people go, but then also the most joyful thing, because that's God's plan, is for people to go and to spread the gospel. All right, Dixie Mae, go ahead. You want to share something, or you want Mama to? You don't have to. About the Philippines? Dixie Mae is shy, right? Until she starts talking, then it's like, go, 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 go.
Don't embarrass her.
She, what I love about Dixie Mae is she never gives up on people. She has the ability to see past the hurt and the pain that you have, and she just loves you. And she'll, if you become her friend, you'll be her friend for life. And before she was born, the doctors told us that she would have all kinds of problems, and they encouraged us, you know, we can do a test where you don't have to deal with these problems anymore. You won't have a daughter. And we said, no. When she was born, there wasn't a thing wrong with her. She was just feisty. So good. And they said, remember that when she becomes a teenager, because that's what kept her alive, right? I was joking. I'm really giving her a hard time. But Dixie Mae, if you want to share something, if not, Mama can share something.
I can try.
Okay, go ahead.
But it's okay. I'm just going to tell you all a story. One afternoon we were in the Philippines, and the Philippines chocolate is like super, super expensive. Like American chocolate, like, you can't get it anywhere. And if you get it, you're really, really excited because like you can't find it anywhere. Because it's just, there's just something different about American food and Filipino food. But my friend had got a little Hershey bar that their aunt or someone had sent them from America. And I just remember seeing them running down the road and just coming towards me and like having the biggest smile on their face. And I was like, what's happening? Like, what's going on? And she was like, I got a piece of chocolate. And I just remember like seeing the joy on their face. And we all had like 5 or 6 people. And we just like sit there and shared that little piece of chocolate that we had. And I was like, in America or different places sometimes, I think most of us are always like, no, I would have just kept up for myself and hided it, but I'm so thankful that God allowed us to be kind and nice people even when other people aren't, and I don't really know what else.
It's okay. All right, so that's our family. Victoria, you want to share something? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say as a mom that it's an honor to serve the Lord together as a family. And like my husband said, you know, it's a blessing to see your children serving the Lord. And Landon, like my husband said, is the most Filipino out of any of us. He can squat on his knees for hours and eat dried fish and the rice. And just, we can even be in Korea or China, another country, and him not even speaking their language, and he will have people following him. Our children are the missionaries. I say, they're the ones who bring the people. They're the ones who draw the crowds. And then we're able to share with them. And even in America, he's like a Bible tract machine. He would hand out Bible tracts everywhere. And we were in Arizona at the Grand Canyon, and I thought I was trying to hand out Bible tracts. People are like, no, it's okay. I'm good. And Landon jumps out of the van and goes out there, and everybody's surrounding him. What do you got, son? What can I have it too? You know. So the Lord uses, you know, your children. And like my husband said, Annabelle, she started her own ministry with the kids, and she was 7 years old. In the Philippines. We come to America and she started asking for her birthday, for Christmas, can I have money? Because I want to help the babies in the Philippines. And she would save every money. We'd go to hotels and she would get quarters out from underneath the washing machines and the Coke machines and save every bit, because for $20 American money, she can pay for a mom to go to the city to a birthing center to have their babies. And Annabelle has helped deliver babies in their huts. And Mike and I have literally gone to the well and brought fresh water to her wherever she was helping. So for just $20, she can send them to get the proper medical care that they need. People line up at our gate. Their babies are sick. They don't know how to take care of them. And Annabelle, she has 2 diaper bags. She has one with just baby clothes and blankets. And her other diaper bag has baby Tylenol in it and thermometers and just basic medical needs. And the people, even in America, would ask me, how can I help her with the babies? And I'd say, you'd have to ask her, because honestly, I'm running around the church doing all the other ministries that she even had raised her own funds here and built her own bamboo nursery that she would do on Sundays. And she would bathe the babies and give them a clean pair of clothes and feed them. And that was her own ministry. And can I tell you, as a mom, it was an honor to see the Lord just using them. And Dixie May, she has a heart for people. She's our shy one. She doesn't want to be out in the open. And she would go into the huts of the ladies and she would help them sweep their dirt floors with their brass brooms. And they would say, "No, Dixie May, I will be the one." And she would say, "No, no, I will help you." And she'll go down to the river with the ladies and help them wash their clothes by hand. And she would have a special bond with them because she just loved them and they sensed that she loved them. And we did a medical mission about 4 weeks before we left the Philippines. And we were in a village. And we were praying, "Lord, please just bring in about 500 people. If you could bring in about 500 people, Lord, that would be awesome." And there was medical doctors from the city who donated their time to come there. Eye doctors who came. We had a dentist who came and said, "I'll just come and pull teeth all day." And he came and pulled teeth all day for the people in the villages. And we had a bucket of sand, you know, and he was there. He said, "You can just spit in there." And he pulled teeth. And we had the first station people would come when they came. We fed them. After they got a hot meal, the next station was we gave them a clear plan of salvation. And we saw over 1,200 people that day. People started going back to their villages and saying, "Get up, come on, you've got to come, you have to come see what Pastor Mike and they're doing." We said, "No, see what the Lord is doing." And, you know, that whole day when it was finished and done, only the Lord knows how many souls were saved that day. But that was one of those highlights for me as a missionary. You know, many times they may be hiking through the villages to get to a school to teach character concepts to the students. Or when I've been into a ladies' prison, I think, "God, just thank you for using me. Lord, I'm a little nobody, but Lord, just thank you for using my hands. Or God, thank you for using my feet just to tell these people about you." And I just want to say thank you to everyone here for your faithfulness, just to our family, and that we truly do love each of you.
Amen. Hold on, buddy. So pray for us, Lord willing, as soon as I could probably after November 3rd, you know, or maybe before, we're going to be heading over to Oahu, Hawaii, where 1 in 4 people speaks the same language that we learned in the Philippines. And pray, because we've been in Roanoke this last week with my best friend in life. He's from Japan. And there's another 25% of our population who speaks Japanese. And so I want their family to go with us. Okay, so if you pray for that. And but we have a heart for the North Shore of Oahu, where you can drive for an hour and a half and you won't see a gospel preaching church like this. If you tell them, "Come to such and such place," they're like, "I've never heard of a place like that. What do you do there? What do y'all do when you gather on Sundays?" And so there's a great need for gospel preachers, faithful gospel preachers. There's homeless people. We want to keep doing medical missions, whatever it takes to reach into homes and to share the gospel with people. And if you want to go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to sing a song. And, you know, preachers always say, "I've got one last thing that I'm going to say." All right. Yeah. So, you know, My daughter said, "Dad, why do preachers lie?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "They always say they're going to close, and they got something else going on." But we won't keep you too long, but we're going to share this song, and then I'll share a message that's called "Lessons from the Field and Things God Has Taught Us." But y'all go ahead. Let's do "Ain't God Good," okay? Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little bit today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little bit today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Girls say it. If y'all can sing that short chorus that y'all been singing, we sang that song, Ain't God Good, because I want us to understand that sometimes God's blessings are not those financial things and the nice new trucks and all that, but it could be hurtful things that he brings us through that makes life so much more beautiful. And there's a song that they're going to sing, and it talks about how our life is a song, and the New Testament calls it poema, and like God is writing a beautiful song or a poem about our life. And so we should not shy away from the hard things and the challenging things, because they're just as beautiful as the ones that feel really nice to us. So we all I'll sing all along. And stand for the reading of God's word. And I know your pastor understands that, as you were here for 6 years, right, as a youth pastor, and then God led you down to Georgia, right, to take care of your family, right? And you were still able to continue serving, but you know, thank you for praying for Dixie May. She's been wearing a super corrective brace for scoliosis, and she was at a point where she was hunched over like this, and she had trouble breathing and pressure on her internal organs. And that super corrective brace and her therapy and the prayers of God's people has taken her from a surgical level and a place of not being able to breathe effectively to where now she can stand up and she can sing for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a really hard thing to go through, to see your daughter cry herself to sleep. And you can't fix what's wrong. It takes time. It's a really hurtful, hard thing. But can I tell you, it's also a beautiful thing when Jesus comforts you in the middle of that. So Philippians chapter 4, I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to go back and understand why this verse made sense to the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. The message is entitled Lessons from the Field. There's three different lessons. If we get to them all, great. If not, we'll just mind the Lord. But let's read this verse together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want you to understand that verse. It's not for the weightlifter who can deadlift 500 pounds, right? I can do all things through Christ. That's not the context. That's not the understanding. It's not for the person who goes into the boxing ring and says, I'm going to knock someone out. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's about understanding and living life and walking hand in hand with Jesus and making us a different person because of everything that he leads us through, he strengthens us. And so, I pray that the message will be a blessing, but most importantly, you cannot ever understand the strength of Jesus Christ unless you become his child. And so I'm going to pray for if there's a person here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as in a personal relationship, as a father and a son, or as a father and a daughter, I hope that you'll understand that by the time we leave, because if not, then we've gathered in vain, right? Let's go to the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, you strengthened me. You strengthened me this morning when you woke me up. And You gave me the ability to look and to see your beautiful creation. You strengthen me, Lord, when I'm tired and when I'm hurting and when I'm broken. And when my children ask me tough questions about life that I don't have the answers for, but I can point them to Scripture and I can point them to the love of God. You strengthen us, Lord. You don't strengthen us for our own glory and for us to make a name for ourselves and for us to perform such great feats that man has never seen. You strengthen us by humbling us, by breaking us, by guiding us, by walking through a life with us hand in hand, because it's all for your glory, it's all for your honor. And we love you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Is this okay to drink right here? Okay. All right. I just got to make sure. All right. I was somewhere and they colored this bright blue and I didn't touch it. I said, why is it bright blue? They said, because it's only for the preacher. Okay. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I understand that. I'm a very different person than I was 10 years ago when I came. I'm older now, right? But I've also learned a lot, and I'm still learning a lot. And I feel like a student, like ever more the student in life. And we'll learn some things while we're in the Philippines, and Lord willing, we'll continue learning when we go to Oahu. But if you go back to verse 4, this is a great song to sing with your family, by the way, if you're having a challenging time. I want to ask a very personal question. So we're family this morning. How many of y'all ever have a difficult time when you're getting prepared and you're making it to church on Sunday? Just raise your hand. You must be a parent, right? No, I was joking. Sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of our cage. I mean, it could be awesome the whole week, but Sunday, it's like our enemy fights. And I like to sing songs, and we sing songs as a family because it helps us get through. Sing this in verse 4 with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. So it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when there's extra money after our bills are all paid, which that's a great thing. Doesn't mean rejoice in the Lord when we just get finished with the buffet and we're so full you have to push us out in a wheelchair from the restaurant. It says always, which means every time. Children, when your parents say something that you're happy with or they say something that you're not happy with, we're still supposed to rejoice because God is a good God. Whether we're happy with what's happening in life and circumstances, He's still an amazing God. And it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unknown unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I guess one of the first lessons that we have here, and I might walk around if I'm a little bit hyper without making anybody nervous, all right? I'm not going to jump the pews, okay? I'm sorry. I'm about 100 pounds heavier than I was about 20 years ago. Right? But it says this. It says, be careful for nothing. With everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And when we talk about lessons from the field, things that I've learned and things that I'm still learning, I've learned and I'm still learning to have peace through an unshakable trust in God. I mean, you don't have to have a PhD to understand that, but it's deeper than you'll ever understand. It's not, hey, God, I trust you. You know, I trust that this is going to happen. You know, like we sit down in a chair and we're trusting that it's not going to break. You know, it depends who made it. But it's by having an unshakable faith and trust to know that however the circumstance works out, that we have an amazing God. And we have the Word of God to guide us through that. So I'll give you this example. We were up in the mountains of the Philippines, and I know that y'all had helped us. with the Philippine Dream Center, and it was on my heart to help build houses for homeless people, to help get them out of the cemetery, because I don't really want to preach to them anymore when they're playing with jawbones and I'm trying to preach the word of God. And they're like, hi, Pastor. This is the creepiest thing in the world, okay? Like, way to kill a church service when they're playing with jawbones. But that's all the toys they had to play with. And so they're, okay. And so we were there, and I said, Lord, can we help them? And y'all gave, and we got to help them. And so we're up in the mountains. And I'm reading this. This scripture came to me, and I was supposed to preach it on a Sunday. I said, Lord, I don't feel like I can preach this right now. He said, why? I said, because in my heart, I know this in my mind, but I don't feel it right now. He said, why? Well, we went there, and we were plowing the ground, and we were getting everything ready. I even had this man come and teach us organic farming. He had a PhD, and he had all these words that he said, and I understood it, and I loved it. We were preparing the soil, and how many of y'all ever planted a garden before or farmed? It don't ever work out ever the way you think you have ever dreamed of doing it. All right? So we were there, and the people would walk by, and they said, oh, Pastor. I said, yes. They said, You taught us about the Garden of Eden and how, you know, sin came, how Adam and Eve sinned. And they said the Garden of Eden was supposed to be a beautiful, perfect place. Is that what your farm is going to look like? You know? And I said, no. I said, first of all, you got the wrong idea. And they said, well, we think that's what it's going to look like because that's your God. And I said, oh. So I prayed and I said, Lord, do you realize your name is on the line? You know, how dare I say that? And I said, they're expecting this to be perfect. So I said, Lord, if it would be your will, can it look really nice? You know, we planted papaya trees and banana trees. We planted them around the borders of the property because we wanted people to eat it for free if they want it. Like, you know, they're going to steal anyways. So let's give them something to eat. And so we did that, and they're like, Pastor, looking really good, looking really nice. And then we planted maize, which is corn and okra and cauliflower and broccoli, and it was really good for a while. And I said, yes, rejoice in the Lord always. And they're like, Pastor, you got a good God. Pastor, your faith is good. I'm like, yes. And then all of a sudden, then we had these things that came in. They call them od, and they're these worms. Before the worms, sorry, we had butterflies. They were all coming around. And the kids were like, butterflies, let's take pictures, you know? And I said, no, I don't like those. And they would land, and then later on we had the worms, and the things started eating the leaves of the lettuce and the arugula and everything that we were growing. And then the people would come by, and they said, oh, hello, Pastor. And I said, hi, how you doing? And they said, what about the Garden of Eden? I said, it is. It's the Garden of Eden. All right, the insects are eaten. All right, and they said, how's it going? And I said, I'm good. And I just kept, I'm like, okay, rejoice in the Lord. And then we have these things called caracol, which is these little snails. And they'd multiply. Like, felt like millions came out every single day. And I said, Lord, these people are thinking it's going to be the Garden of Eden. What's going on? Then after that, we had these things called apan-apan, which these little jumping things that look like a difference like between a locust and a grasshopper, and they come, what I feel, very deep from underneath the earth. And they're destroying the crops. I kind of tell you, I got a little bit frustrated. I wasn't mad at God, but I was a little frustrated. And I sat down, and I was talking to the people in our church. And I said, listen, we got to pray. They said, why? I said, well, all these people in America gave money so y'all could eat. And I said, I don't want to, I mean, what am I supposed to tell them? They're starving because, you know, we couldn't get a hold of the insects and they were destroying everything. I said, also, we're not trying to build a swimming pool with the proceeds of the crops. We just want to feed you guys because I can see your ribs. And I was broken before the Lord, and I said, Lord, you tell me to rejoice. Lord, you tell me that in the other verses that Lord, well, let me read it because I want to be accurate. Lord, I said, you tell us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I said, how do I do that, Lord? What all I want as a pastor is for my people to have food to eat. I don't want them to starve at the end of the night, and I want them to see your glory. He goes, just trust me. Y'all ever had someone say, just trust me? And you're thinking, I got A, B, C figured out how this ain't going to happen right. You know, like, some people say, just trust me, is like the equivalent of saying, hey, y'all, watch this. So I said, okay, God. He said, I was broken. And I told my friend Roy, I said, I can't preach the message. He goes, why? I said, because I love God, but I don't understand. I said, I'm so tired of these things coming destroying our crops. I said, so what can we do? He said, let's pray, Pastor. So like the men did earlier, all the men gathered around me, and they said, Lord, take care of our pastor. And by the way, they've only been Christians for just a few years. Take care of our pastor. His faith is weak right now. And I'm thinking, okay. And they said, Lord, and this impacted me. They said, if we have to go hungry to strengthen our pastor's faith, let it be, Lord. Just let it be. I thought, wow. I learned that in that weakness, God was doing something so amazing. And they said to me after the service, they said, Pastor, when you first came, we saw you're American. We know you got 10 cars, and we know you got all these houses, right? They said, but after a while, we realized you're not very rich after all. And then they said, then we saw your love because you took care of our children and you brought them to the hospital. You took care of their medical needs. You loved them. You sat at the table with them. You plowed the fields with them. But you said, you know, when you failed and when you were weak and you couldn't get it done, he goes, we saw Jesus because you suffered just like us. You're Filipino now, Pastor. Sometimes you can't feed your family. Sometimes, you know, you couldn't do the things that you wanted to do. And the American in you couldn't do it. And they said, we saw Jesus when you became weak. And so I said, okay, Lord, fine. I said, if this is the way you want it to be, I'm learning this lesson. I'm like, okay, I think I learned the lesson. So I preached the message and I went home and I said, whoo, glad all that's done. If y'all ever worked, you know, owned your own business or if you ever farmed, nothing's ever done. There's always stuff that happens. So he called me that night. He goes, Pastor. And I said, what? He goes, ang panalangin, giging ahalanamo, which is showers of blessings. I said, what's the blessing? He goes, daghang mga bakit, there's frogs everywhere. I said, am I Pharaoh that the Lord would rain on me? What? I said, Roy, goodbye. Choom. I hung up the phone and I'm pouting, you know, like Jonah underneath the gourd, you know, I'm pouting. And I go to the next door, and so I get all riled up, and I got my Bible here. I brought extra people with me, and I'm crossing my arms, and I go into our church. I said, Roy, what's with the frogs? I said, we got exterminators here. He goes, no. I said, what do you mean, no? He said, the most blessed farmers in the Philippines have frogs. I said, what? He goes, because they eat the butterflies, he goes, they eat the locusts, they eat the worms, and they take care of all the problems, and they sleep underneath the leaves, and they go to the creek, and then multiplied, and they come back. And to this day, we still have frogs over there in that property, and we never have anything to come and attack the crops again. And he goes, but that's not the best part. I said, what? He goes, we get to go frog again, Pastor, when we're hungry. We get to eat. Amen. We get to eat. And it was amazing, because God took something that made me so weak, and the American, the money, the training, everything that I thought I could bring to the table, he said, oh, that's nice. Let me strip it away, because let me show them so they'll remember me, not Pastor Mike. Amen. They remember Jesus. They remember how awesome God is. And so that's the first lesson. Next two are going to be real quick, I promise. Okay? You can get your fried chicken. All right, don't worry about it. Fried frog legs. He taught me to have unshakable trust in him because his ways are better than mine. All my plans, all my dreams, all my desires were nothing compared to the glory that God could get for himself if he did it his way. Now let's look at the scripture. It says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How many of you like conflict, relational conflict with other people? Oh, there's nobody that enjoys it, right? We had a man that I shared in Sunday school that misunderstood our purpose for being there. We were building houses for homeless people. And he accused my wife, whom he'd never met, of calling him a squatter, which is a very derogatory name. But he really was one, because he was stealing property that wasn't his. But that was his way of trying to get us out of there, because he heard it through the grapevine that we were going to bulldoze his house over. And I'm like, man, why would I bulldoze your house over if I'm building houses for homeless people? But you know how rumors, y'all know how rumors get stirred up? Families, church members. You know, you walk into church, preacher's busy thinking about something and doesn't shake your hand right. You're like, I don't know about a preacher anymore, right? I mean, it just happens. And not only did God teach me to have peace through unshakable trust in him, but he taught me to have peace through pure thoughts towards the people around me and my brothers and sisters in Christ and for those who God entrusts me with. You say, why? Because we're going to have misunderstandings. We're going to have people that hurt us. We're going to have people that rip our hearts out. We're going to have people like that man who sent a man what was the machine gun? Oh, it doesn't matter the kind. But he held a machine gun to my wife's head and then my son's. And she says, you might want to go talk to my husband. So he held a machine gun up to me, you know? Yes, baby, I love you. Glad you got life insurance on me, right? And he says, but they go need more, Pastor. I will kill you. And I said, why? He's, because you're going to bulldoze my boss's house over. I said, no, I'm building houses for homeless people through the partnerships we have. I said, why do you think that? Because so-and-so said that. I said, well, go tell so-and-so he is not right. Try that. Try it. You just try it, okay? Some things you can fix in life. Some things you can't. Some things you just have to understand that we're all different people and we're going to think different ways. That's why Jesus tells us, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good rapport, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Because that man took my wife to court, then later apologized and told her he was wrong in front of the whole court. He was a retired colonel from the police force, right? The Philippine National Police. Well, then other people did challenging things. My friend Roy, who tried to kill people in our church. It's a daily battle for me to remember the screams of the people in my church and to love the man who I feel like destroyed everything, but he really didn't. He propelled the proclamation of the gospel all throughout the region that we were at. But can I tell you, I miss my friend Roy, but when my son wakes up at 2 in the morning, like he did last night, thinking that Roy is coming into our house to kill us because he threatened wherever we go in life, he'll kill us. I mean, this is my best friend I've ever had. He held Landon like he was the sinless one, you know. He loved him. To wake up at 2 in the morning, I don't want to love Roy. But then Jesus tells me I have to love him and to pray for him and pray for him to get right. There was times when that man who held my wife at gunpoint, there was times when I was so happy with him, I invited him over and cooked food for him. Because he lived across the street from our church. He wouldn't leave. You imagine, they're just right there and they're not leaving. But times when my wife was stressed, I don't want to love that man. I wanted to relocate him to another universe. And y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a battle. But for me to be the man that God called me to be, I can't harbor those feelings towards people who have hurt me so deeply. I have to constantly give it to Jesus Christ. And I have to think on good things. And if you haven't faced that yet, you will sometime in your life. And my daughter asked me recently, she says, Dad, all the people that I love, if I miss them and I care about them and they've hurt me so deeply, why can't God just remove their memory from my mind? I said, because if you want to be like Jesus and if you want to love people, it's still going to hurt inside because you're going to care about that person and you're going to wish it was different. But I said, baby, we can't be consumed with vengeance and this and that. We have to think on good things, on good, loving things. That's the second one. Then third, then we'll be done. Scripture says, as the Apostle Paul, by the way, all these experiences, the Apostle Paul faced, do you realize he had a group of people that traveled from city to city with the purpose of destroying him? Same with Jesus, right? They just wanted to destroy him. They hated him. He messed up people's businesses when they would go get saved and no longer practice witchcraft and they couldn't make money anymore. People would get angry, right? And it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Speaking to the Philippian church. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be hungry, to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And it's like the culmination, he goes, because of all of this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So not only did I learn to have an unshakable trust in Jesus Christ, not only did I learn to have peace through pure thoughts towards people that hurt me very deeply, I learned to rejoice and to be content in how God shapes me in life. Because you may not know, when I was younger, I lived in 6 different foster homes. I was adopted. My adopted family told me to leave. I slept underneath a bridge for 2 years. So I know what it's like to go to sleep the first night hoping that you can sleep the pain away from an empty stomach. The second night, you try to sleep the pain away and it eats at you so bad. You can't sleep and you go crazy. I remember when I was a teenager, you could see my ribs, every one of them. I looked like, you know, it was probably 150 pounds less, right? Now I have a beautiful wife who likes to cook for me. But I remember what it was like to have nothing. And then I remember what it was like to be adopted. And my adopted parents, my dad's a multimillionaire. But then he told me to get out. Okay. So then now I learned what it was like to have no family. Today, the state of Oregon is my official, there are my official parents. That is my family. I have no parents anymore. But then I also learned what it's like to have a beautiful family with a beautiful wife and 3 children and tons of people in the Philippines that I love and people like y'all that have become part of our family. So I've learned what it's like to have nothing and to have everything and to have it all stripped away and to have it give it back. And then in the Philippines, we got it given 150 acres and we built houses for people, you know, over 20 houses, and we got to start businesses and drill wells and just have a really good time serving Jesus. And then I know what it was like to have to leave. And the people said, go to the regions beyond, Pastor. We're going to carry on. And it hurt. I said, Lord, do you not see? You gave me a projector, screens, banjos. You gave me guitars. You gave me everything. I said, I can serve you with that. He goes, yep. And you can give it all away too, because it's not yours. It's mine. So I know what it's like to have 2 suitcases now. Literally. You think I'm joking. It's all in that Suburban out there. But I couldn't be happier because when I become content, when I become happy, when I realize that my happiness is not based on all the things that I have, but it's on everything that Jesus Christ leads me through, it's the most freeing thing in the world. So I'll close with that thought, is that I truly can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He doesn't strengthen me like like the big protein shakes that people take and the steroids. That's not the way he strengthens. He strengthens us by making us weak. He strengthens us through his word. He strengthens us by walking hand in hand through experiences. And I'm 38. I mean, I don't know how much longer I'll live, but, I might live 40 more years. I'm like, I might be good if I live 20 more years. I don't know. But I want to keep seeing God's glory. I want to keep being strengthened by him. I want to keep learning lessons from him. I want to come back, hopefully not 10 years. Hopefully it'll be a little bit, less time when we see y'all again. But I want to tell you all the stories about how God, awesome God is. And I think back to this. 1997, that will be 23 years ago, right? I've been a Christian 23 years. Wow. I walked into church with a green mohawk, all right? Big old jeans and a skateboard sat in the back of the church. And they were probably scared to death. Like, this ain't no evangelist going to preach the fire down from heaven. They're probably thinking, this guy's going to set the church on fire. Like, what's wrong with him, And I remember no one talking to me when I walked out. And they were probably scared. But I remember a man walking up. Are you afraid? Can I shake your hand? I know. COVID, can I shake your hand? No? Okay, all right. I'm not going to reach for your gun, I promise. Okay. The man walked up to me. He didn't say anything about any of that. He just looked at me. He goes, Mike, I think you need Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, can you tell? And he says, has anyone ever shared the Bible with you? And I said, I'm 15 years old and I've never seen the Bible before. Well, just like in Hawaii, a lot of people grown up their whole life, they've never seen the Bible before. He goes, can I share who Jesus is? Can I share how he died? He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for you and he was buried. And guess what? He rose again. He's not in the grave anymore. He goes, can I share that he can be a good father to you? Psalm 68 says, God is the father of the fatherless. He setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. He says, can I share that with you? I said, sure. I never imagined I'd be standing here before you today testifying of how amazing God is. So don't ever give up on that person that you're praying for. Please. Because it could be someone who goes and shares the gospel all around the world. It could be the person who marries your child. All right? It could be someone who cuts your grass. It could be someone who would have broken into your house, but then now they're sitting in the church pew with you. So I want to pray for everybody. Let's with every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor's going to come in just a minute. I want to pray and give it to the Lord. Father, I love you. Lord, please humble me because I know that I'm nothing without you. I'm so thankful that you're my Father. I'm so thankful that I'm your son. Help me, Lord, for the rest of my life to continue serving you, but help me to do it in a greater way. Realizing that I've learned some lessons, but there's many more to learn. Help me to be able to come back and testify of the amazing things that you've done. Lord, I'm so excited to meet the Filipinos in heaven with my brothers and sisters here. But I want to meet some people, some Samoans, some people from some more Filipinos, some more Hawaiians, some people that are in our military. Lord, I want to be able to do that, and it's all because of you. So I pray over the congregation, Lord, whatever the needs are, whatever people are facing, may you move in a mighty way, and may we respond according to the word of God. In Jesus' most precious name we ask. Amen.